Good evening, this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Yeah, this is part two to the last episode, Mono Minority. This is Mono Minority part two, and we're talking about how African Americans are used to be a contrast to the Mono Minority trope. We're also going to talk about how the Jewish community is also affected by the Mono Minority trope. Alright, before I get started in the episode, here's a couple of announcements. First, I am registered on IMBD as the producer, the director, and writer of the podcast. If you want to, you can go on my IMBD account, Jeffrey Frazier, so you can give this podcast a high rating. Also, you can follow me on Twitch. My Twitch account is JeffGamer55Ryer. That's JeffGamer55R-Y-E-R. Also, you can follow me on my YouTube page, which is Pain308TV. Again, which is Pain308TV. Okay, so I just want to let everybody know that I'm on the verge of finally get the vaccine tomorrow. I'm going to get my first vaccine. Decided not to be scared and suck it up and just go out and get the vaccine so I can get back to moving around New York City normally. Alright, so let's get started. Often overlooked is the direct contrast of model minorities with African Americans. The model minority stereotypes has been historically been utilized to discredit African-American racial equality movements, such as the Civil Rights Movement, as they highlighted an alternative route to racial reform. Instead of protesting, African-Americans were pushed to follow the lead of African-Americans, the model minority, who highlighted that success as a minority was possible through hard work and support of the government. Since the success of Asian Americans was frequently attributed to distinctive cultural elements, researchers and policymakers argued that the struggles faced by African Americans was a result of a culture of poverty. Thus, politicians such as Assistant Secretary of Labor Daniel Patrick Moynihan suggested that fostering cultural change amongst African Americans was essential to address the overall issue of racial inequality. This illustrated through Moynihan's paper, The Negro Family, The Case for National Action, which argues for the need to intervene in African American families in order to establish family values similar to those of Asian Americans. While the scholars of the Civil Rights era relied on cultural values to describe the varying success of Asian Americans and African Americans, contemporary scholars have begun to examine the effects of the different types of racism the two ethnic groups experience. Essentially, racism in itself is not monolithic. Instead, it perpetuated in different ways and different avenues of the life in which anti-black rhetoric often proves to be more harmful to black personhood than situations involving anti-Asian discrimination. Such generalizations regarding black people's inability to thrive in the United States fail to complain the high levels of success seen by African Americans and Caribbean immigrants to America, which surpasses the averages of all native-born American ethnic groups. Additionally, black African immigrant women make up the highest paid group of women in the country. African immigrants and Americans born to African Americans have been described as an invisible model minority, primarily as a result of a high degree of success in the United States. Due to misconceptions and stereotypes, their success has not been acknowledged by the greater American society, as well as other Western societies, hence the label of invisible. The invisibility of the success of Africans was touched upon by Dr. Kefa M. Olsom, an academic professor from Bowling Green State University, who stated that because these immigrants come from a continent that is often cast in an unfavorable light in the U.S. media, there is a tendency for many Americans to miss the vital contribution of these immigrants to meeting the critical U.S. domestic labor needs, enhancing American global economic and technological competitiveness. In the 2000 U.S. Census, it was revealed that African Americans were the most educated immigrant group in the United States, even when compared to Asian immigrants. Some 48.9% of all African immigrants hold a college diploma. This is more than double the rate of native-born white Americans and nearly four times the rate of native-born African Americans, according to the 2000 census. The rate of college diploma acquisition is the highest among Egyptian Americans at 59.7, falsely caused closely by Nigerian Americans at 58.6. In the 2000 U.S. census, social economics. In 1997, 19.4% of all African immigrants in the United States held a graduate degree, compared to 8.1% of adult white Americans and 3.8% of adult black Americans in the United States. According to the 2000 census, the percentage of Africans with a graduate degree is amongst Nigerian Americans at 28.3%, followed by the Egyptian Americans at 23.8%. In 1997, 19.4% of all adult African immigrants in the United States held a graduate degree, compared to 8.1% of adult white Americans and 3.8% of adult black Africans in the United States. In the 2000 census, the percentage of Africans with a graduate degree is amongst highest Nigerian Americans at 28.3%, followed by Egyptian Americans at 23.8%. Of the African-born population in the United States 25 and older, 87.9% reported having a high school degree or higher, compared with 78% of Asian-born immigrants and 76% of European-born immigrants, respectively. This success comes in spite of facts such as that more than 75% of African-born foreign-born in the United States have only arrived since the 1990s, and that African immigrants make a disproportionately and now small percentage of immigrants coming to the United States, such as 2007 alone, African immigrants made up of 3.7% of immigrants and coming to the United States, and again in the 2009. They made up on 3.9% of all immigrants, making this group fairly recent to the United States diversity. Of the 8% of students at the Ivy League schools that are black, majority, about 50% to 66%, was made up of black African immigrants, Caribbean immigrants, and American born to these immigrants. Many top universities report that a disproportionate of the black students' population consists of recent immigrants, their children, and were of mixed race. The overrepresentation of highly skilled can be seen in a relatively high share of black African immigrants with at least a four-year college degree. 2007, 27% of the U.S. population age 25 or older had a four-year degree or more. 10% had a master's, doctorate, or professional degree. Immigrants from several Anglophone African countries were among the best educated. A majority of black immigrants from Nigeria, Cameroon, Uganda, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe had at least a four-year degree. Immigrants from Egypt, where the official language is Arabic, was among the best educated. The overrepresentation of the highly skilled among the U.S. immigrants is particularly striking for several of Africa's largest source countries. The United States was the destination for 59% of the Nigeria's highly skilled immigrants, along with the 47% of those from Ghana and 29% from Kenya. The average annual personal income of African immigrants is about $26,000. Nearly 2,000 more than that of his workers born in the U.S. This might be because 71% of the Africans 16 years and older were working, compared to 64% of Americans. This is believed to due to the larger percent of African immigrants who have higher educational qualifications than Americans, which results in higher per capita incomes from African immigrants and Americans born to African immigrants. Outside of educational success, specific groups have found social economic success and have made many contributions to American society. For example, recent statistics indicate that the Ugandan Americans have become one of the country's biggest contributors to the economy. The contribution amounting to U.S. $1 billion in annual remittances, which are disproportionately large, contributed despite a community and population less than 13,000. African immigrants, like many other immigrant groups, are likely to establish and find success. Examples of such ethnic enclaves include Little Ethiopia in Los Angeles and Lipiti, Senegal in New York City. Demographically, African immigrants and American-born African immigrants tend to typically congregate in urban areas, moving to suburban areas over the next few generations as they acquire economic and social stability. They are also one of America's least likely groups to live in racially segregated areas. African Americans and Americans born of African immigrants have been reported as some of the lowest crime rates in the United States and being one of the most unlikeliest groups to commit crime. African immigrants who have been reported to lower crime rates in neighborhoods in which they have moved to. Black Africans from black majority countries are revealed to be much healthier than black people from countries that are majority black, where they constitute a minority. Thus, African immigrants are much healthier than American-born black people and black immigrants from Europe. Cultural factors have been proposed as an explanation for success for African immigrants. For example, it is claimed that all for integrating American society more successfully in higher rates than other immigrant groups due to social factors. One being that many African immigrants have strong English skills even before entering the U.S. Many African nations, particularly former British colonies, use English as a lingua franca. Because of this, many African immigrants in the U.S. are bilingual. Overall, 70% of black African immigrants either speak English or their primary language or speak another language but are also fluent in English. Compare this to 48% proficiency in English for other immigrant groups. Kefa also has proposed another reason for the success of African immigrants, saying that they have a high work ethic, focus, and drive to succeed is honed and crafted by the fact that there are limited social economic opportunities in a native African country, says Otso. Selective immigration. Another possible cause of higher performance of African immigrants as a group is they represent a small population here in America, so those who are chosen to come here often come from a selective group of American people. The relative difficulty in immigrating and immigrating into the United States has created selective nature of the process, which the U.S. often chosen the wealthier and more educated of those with less resources, motivation, or ability to immigrate. Despite immigrants being highly educated more often than find it hard to become employed in high-level occupations, instead of having to work in labor jobs to sustain and maintain a decent life, often it is left to their children to take up a higher positions. Their desire to succeed is transferred onto second-generation African immigrants. They experience in their native countries, consequently, they often allocate more resources towards it. This pushes second-generation African immigrants by their parents has proven to be the key factor in their success, and a combination of family support and the emphasis of family unit has given these citizens social and psychological stability, which makes them strive even further for success in many aspects of their daily life and society. Many of these American groups are thus transferring high cultural emphasis on education and work ethic into their cultures, what can be seen in their cultures of Algerian Americans, Kenyan Americans, Sierra Leone Americans, Ghanaian Americans, Malawian Americans, Congolese Americans, Tanzanian Americans, and especially Nigerian Americans and Egyptian Americans. The Cuban success story is popular with myth that Cuban Americans are political exiles who become wealthy in the United States. This story is often used to prove the accessibility of the American dream. Yeah, I heard about the Cuban success story. That's not necessarily true. African immigrants have experienced success in numerous countries, especially Commonwealth countries such as Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom, which have attracted many educated and highly skilled African immigrants with enough resources for them to start a new life in these countries. In the UK, one report has revealed that the African immigrants have high rates of employment and that African immigrants are doing better economically than some other immigrant groups. Africans have attained much success as entrepreneurs, many owning and starting many successful businesses across the country. Of the African immigrants, certain groups have become and are highly integrated into the country, especially groups which have strong English language skills, such as Zimbabweans and Nigerians. And they often come from highly educated, highly qualified backgrounds. Many African immigrants have no levels of unemployment, and some groups are known for their high self-employment, as can be seen in the case of Nigerian immigrants. Certain groups outside of having strong English skills have found success mostly because many who have immigrated to the UK are highly educated and highly skilled professionals who come with jobs and positions such as business people, academics, traders, doctors, and lawyers, as in the case of Sudanese immigrants. As of 2013, Nigerian immigrants were among the 9 immigrant populations that were above average academically in the UK. Euromonitor International for the British Council suggests that the high academic achievement by Nigerian students is mainly from the former most of pupils already learned English in their home country. Additionally, many of them hail from the wealthier segments of Nigerian society, which can afford to pursue studies abroad. A notable example of highly educated nature of British Nigerians is the case of Paula and Peter Infomadon, 9-year-old twins who are the youngest students ever to be admitted in high school in England. Nicknamed the Wonder Twins, the twins and other members of the family has accomplished incredible rare feats, passing advanced examinations and being accepted into institutions with students twice their age. In Canada, Asian Canadians are somewhat viewed as a model minority, though the phenomenon is not widely accepted as it is in the United States. The majority of this aim is toward East Asian and South Asian communities. In New Zealand, Asian New Zealanders are viewed as model minority due to a chain of above average social and economic indicators that the New Zealand average. Though the phenomenon remains small underground and is not a widespread with their American counterparts. In a study of the popular New Zealand newspaper, articles never portrayed the Chinese as a model minority that silently achieves, and this was not in line with overseas research, suggesting that this stereotype merits further analysis. Okay. Israel. In Israel, Christian Arabs are one of the most educated groups. Mariv have described the Christian Arab sectors as the most successful in education systems, since Christian Arabs fare the most in terms of education in comparison to any other group receiving education in Israel. They have attained a bachelor's degree in economic theory more than the median Israeli population. So in Israel, they talk about how Christian Arabs is considered to be, may be considered to be model minorities. I don't know if this is true. This is what the article on Wikipedia says. I'll read further along. According to the study, are Christian Arabs new Israeli Jews? Reflections on the Educated Level of Arab Christians in Israel by Hannah David from the University of Tel Aviv. One of the factors why Israeli Arab Christians are the most educated segment of Israel's population is the high level of the Christian educational institutions. Christian schools in Israel are among the best schools in the country, and while these schools represent only 4% of the Arab schooling sector, 34% of Arab university students come from Christian schools. and 87% of Israeli apps in high-tech sector has been educated in Christian schools. 2011, the Maariv article describes the Christian Arab Center as the most successful in the education system. An opinion supported by the Israeli Central Bureau of Statistics and other who point out the Christian Arabs to base the role of education in comparison to any other group receiving an education in Israel. That's interesting. The Israeli Central Bureau of Statistics noted that when taking into account the data recorded over the years, Christian Arabs fared the best in terms of education in comparison to any other group receiving an education in Israel. 2016 Christian Arabs had the highest rating success in maturity examinations, namely 73% both in comparison to Muslim and Jewish Israelis, 41% and 51.9% respectively. And to the students from the different branches of the Hebrew education system considered to be the group, 55.1%. The Arab Christians are among the most educated groups in Israel. Statistically, Arab Christians in Israel have the highest rates of educational attainment among all religious communities, according to a data by Israel's Central Bureau of Statistics in 2001. 63% of Israel Arab Christians have an education, college or postgraduate education, the highest of any religious and ethno-religious group. Despite the fact that Arab Christians only represent 2.1% of the total Israeli population, 2014 they accounted for 17% of the country's university students and for 14.4% of its college students. The more Christians who have attained a bachelor's degree or higher academic degrees than the medium Israeli population. The rate of students studying in the field of medicine was among Arab Christian students in all other sectors. And the percentage of Arab Christian who are receiving higher education is also higher formed than any other group. The Arab Christian students were among the vanguard in terms of eligibility. Vanguard in terms of eligibility for higher education, as the Arab Christian Arab students had the highest rates of receiving psychometric entrance test scores, which eligible them to be accepted into universities. Data from the Israeli Central Bureau of Statistics show that 61% of Christian Arabs were eligible for university studies, compared to 50% of Jews, 45% of Jews, and 35% of Muslim students. In terms of the socioeconomic situation, Arab Christians are more similar to the Jewish population than the Muslim Arab population. They have the lowest incidence of poverty and the lowest percentage of unemployment, which is 4.9% to 6.5% among Jewish men and women. They also have the highest median household income among the Arab citizens of Israel and the second highest median household income among the Israeli ethno-religious groups. Also, Arab Christians have a high representation in science and white-collar professions. In Israel, Arab Christians are portrayed as a hardworking and upper middle class educated ethno-religious minority. Okay. So, I'm going to talk about Mexico, France, Germany. We're going to talk about the People's Republic of China and Netherlands, about their model minority in their particular countries. Let's start with Mexico. Due to their business success and cultural assimilation, German Mexicans and Lebanese Mexicans are seen as model minorities in Mexico. Most recently, the Haitians in Tijuana has been favorably by Tijuanaises as model immigrants due to their work ethic and integration into Tijuana society. They also been concentrated with Central American migrants. In 19th and early 20th century, German immigration was encouraged due to perceived industrialists of Germans. German Mexicans were instrumental in the development of the cheese and beer industries in Mexico. Germans in Sucano were successful in the coffee industry. Although Lebanese and Mexicans made up 5% of the total immigrant population of Mexico during the 1930s, they constituted half of immigrant economic activity. Carlos Slim, one of the most richest individuals in the world, is the topmost example of Lebanese-Mexican success. Let's talk about the French, France. The French Vietnamese. Vietnamese in France are the most well-established overseas Vietnamese community outside Eastern Asia, as well as the Asian ethno group in France, with roughly 139,000 Vietnamese immigrants living in France. While the level of integration among immigrants and their place in French society have become prominent an issue in France in the past decade, the French media and politics generally view the Vietnamese community as a model minority. This is because they are representative of having a high degree of integration with French society, as well as their economic and academic success. A survey in 1988 asking French citizens which immigrant ethnic group they believe to be most integrated in French society saw the Vietnamese being ranked the fourth, only behind the Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese communities. The education attainment rate of the Vietnamese population in France is among overseas Vietnamese populations, a legacy that dates back to the colonial era of Vietnam, when privileged families and those with connection to colonial government often sent their children to France to study. In addition to high achievements in education, the Vietnamese population in France is also largely successful in economic terms. When the first wave of Vietnamese migrants arrived in France during World War I, a number of already held professional occupations in their new country shortly after their arrival. More recently, refugees who arrived in France after the fall of Saigon are often more financially stable than their counterparts who settled in North America, Australia, and the rest of Europe due to better linguistic and cultural knowledge of the host country, which allowed them to enter the education system or high-paying professions with little trouble. Within a single generation, median income for French-born Vietnamese has risen above the French median income. Similar to the Vietnamese, the Lyotan community in France, one most well integrated into the country, has the most established overseas Lyotan populace. Unlike their counterparts in North America and Asia, Lyotans in France have a high rate of educational success and well-represented in the academic and professional sectors, especially among the generations of French-born Lao. Due to better linguistic and cultural knowledge of the host country, Lao immigrants to France, who largely came as refugees after the end of the Lao-Tan Civil War, were able to have a high rate of assimilation. It's Germany. In Germany, the academic success of people of Vietnamese origin is called Das Wissenschaftliche Wunder. My German is not good. That's probably my first time even speaking German. This translates into the Vietnamese miracle. Study revealed that the Berlin dialects of Lichtenberg and Masursan, both in former East Berlin and possessing a relatively small percentage of immigrants, Vietnamese account for only 2% of the general population, but make up 17% of the preschool population. Another vote of Vietnamese Germans' academic success that even they can grow poverty in places like East Germany, they usually outperform their peers in a wide margin. Another group in Germany that's extremely academically successful is comparable to that of model minority is the Korean Germans. 7% of who attended a gymnasium, which is comparable to prep school in American society, compared to Vietnamese Germans of only 50% attending gymnasium. Also, 70% of the second generation Korean Germans held at least an abattoir of higher education qualification, more than twice to the ratio of the rest of Germany.
That's interesting. So a prep school in Germany is called a gymnasium.
We have a different meaning for that. People's Republic of China. The People's Republic of China, multi-ethnic, multinational state, and the ruling Communist Party officially regulates 55 ethnic groups within the borders of control by the People's Republic. Since the foundation of the Communist Party in China, a dialectical, materialistic view of ethnic minorities has been a prominent party ideology in which all ethnic groups in China are seen as equal. Nevertheless, certain minorities are seen as more ideal in terms of moral, economic, and social cultural superiority than the majority Han, for example, the Jasawik, Zhuang, and the Hui, who are also seen as both proudly Korean Zhuang or Hui, respectively, but also loyal to the Chinese nation. Notwithstanding success in integrating the Hui, the 21st century has seen the state confronted by ethnic tension, with minority groups seen as less loyal, in particular the Tiberians and the Uyghurs. In both cases, violent reaction to attempt to integrate into the wild Chinese society has resulted in state repression and genocide, as recognized by Canada and several other nations. I heard about Tibet. Hmm. 55 ethnic minority groups within China. I didn't know that. The Netherlands. At the end of the colonial era of the Dutch East Indies, now Indonesia, a community of about 300,000 Indo-Europeans, people of mixed Indonesian-European heritage, was registered as Dutch citizens. Indo formed the vast majority of European legal class in the colony, which in the second half of the 20th century, the Independent Republic of Indonesia was established. The majority of Europeans, including the Indo-Europeans, were expelled from the new established country. Reparation. From 1945 to 1949, the Indonesian National Revolution turned the former Dutch East Indies into an increasingly hostile government for Indo-Europeans and hostile environment for Indo-Europeans. Violence aims towards Indo-Europeans during this early Bierslap period, 1945 to 1946, accumulated almost 20,000 deaths. The Indo diaspora continued up to 1964 and resulted in the immigration of practically all Indo-Europeans from a turbulent young independent nation. Even though most Indios had never set foot in the Netherlands before, this immigration was named reparation. Notwithstanding the fact that Indos in the former colony of the Dutch East Indies were officially part of the European legal class and were formally considered to be Dutch nationals, Dutch government faced an official policy of disgarnishment with regard to post-World War II reparation of the Indos to the Netherlands. While Dutch policy was in fact aimed at stimulating Indos to give up Dutch citizenship and opt for Indonesian citizenship, simultaneously the young Indonesian Republic implemented policies increasingly intolerant towards anything remotely reminiscent of Dutch influence. Though the actual aggression against Indos decreased after the extreme violence of the Bierslap period, all Dutch language institutions, schools, and businesses were gradually eliminated, and public discrimination and racism against Indos and the Indonesian job market continued. And then 98% of the original Indo community reparated to their distant fatherland in Europe. Integration. In the 1990s and early 21st century, the Netherlands was confronted with the ethnic tension of a now multicultural society. Ethnic tensions rooted in the perceived lack of social integration and the rise in crime rates through several ethnic minorities. Climaxed with the murders of the Polish and Pim Fraterin in 2002 and the film director Dian van Gogh in 2004. The 2006 statistics showed that in Rotterdam, the second largest city in the country, close to 50% of the inhabitants were of foreign descent, and the Indo community, however, is considered the best integrated ethnic cultural minority in the Netherlands. Statistical data compiled by the CBS shows that Indos belong to a group with the lowest crime rates in the country. A CBS study of 1999 reveals that all foreign grown groups live in the Netherlands. Only the Indos have an average income similar of the citizens born in the Netherlands. Job participation in government, education, and healthcare is similar as well. Another recent CBS study among foreign-born citizens and their children living in the Netherlands in 2005 shows that on average, Indos own the largest number of independent enterprises. A 2007 CBS study shows that already over 50% of the first-generation Indos have married a native-born Dutch person, a percentage that increased to 80% for the second generation. One of the first and oldest Indo organizations that supported the integration of Indo repatriates into the Netherlands is Perdido Foundation. Although Indo repatriates being born overseas are officially registered as Dutch citizens of foreign descent, their Eurasian background puts them in the Western subclass instead of the non-Western Asian subclass. The factors usually attributed to the essence of apparently seamless assimilation into Dutch society. Dutch citizen and the amount of Dutch cultural capital in the form of social school attainments and familiarity with the Dutch language and culture that Indos already possess before migrating to the Netherlands. Although third and fourth generation Indos as a partly fairly large minority community in the Netherlands, the path of assimilation ventured by their parents and grandparents has left them with a little knowledge of their actual roots and history, even to the point that they find it hard to recognize their own cultural features. Some Indos find it hard to grasp the concept of their Eurasian identity and independently disregarded their Indian roots or the attempt to profile themselves as Indonesian. In recent years, however, the reinvented search of roots and identity has also produced several academic studies. Well, that's actually very interesting. I did not know that. I know the minority was in the United States of America, but I didn't know that their concept was in, you know, Western society as a whole. I don't know, they had that concept in UK and France and Netherlands and even in China. It's interesting. And in Israel. So, thank you for listening to this podcast episode. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'm Jeffrey Frazier, signing off.